Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys in the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
We recently got to interview Adam Carolla for Kush Magazine, which is, if you can't figure it out by the title, a marijuana-related magazine. And it was pretty awesome. But Ben, you weren't there because Ben, I don't know how many people know this, but Ben is in Sacramento and Chris and I are down here in LA. So Ben, were you jealous when you found out we were going to be going to interview Adam at the Ace Broadcasting Studios?
No, I wasn't jealous. And I thought Kush Magazine was a magazine about couches.
The interview is hilarious because of Danny and I.
Yeah.
And then Adam Carolla said some things in between the funny stuff we were saying. Oh, it's okay.
Did he ask about me or where I was?
Yeah, he was really good. Like, where's...
Not with words so much.
He asked with his eyes. Oh, really? Were you jealous, Ben? I mean, you haven't even heard the interview yet.
I don't know if jealous is the right word, but I would say envious.
Excited. Oh, you'd use a synonym?
I wouldn't use cinnamon.
You'd get a thesaurus out before you asked the question?
No, but saying jealous, that's kind of a...
That's true.
It seems negative to me.
Yeah, it implies that...
That would mean that I would want to be there instead of you.
Right.
I was just more envious that I wish I was there with you two.
All right, well, why don't you ask us some questions about it so we can kind of take you there? You sound excited about this.
When you two were there, at any point did you look at each other and think, man, something's really missing here? That being me?
Oh, a couple times, bro. It was really weird trying to interview Adam without you there.
Was this before or after one of his podcasts?
Yeah, it was right before one of his podcasts.
Who was he interviewing that day?
He was interviewing one of the guys from Wings, but I don't remember his name.
That's right.
From Wings, the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, God, who was it? It's someone who was in a movie.
Something Daly. I think Tim Daly.
Oh, Tyne Daly.
No, Tyne Daly is his sister. He revealed that. I didn't renew that. But it was funny because after we got done interviewing Carolla and me just fucking making him laugh so much, he goes, God, guys, it sucks that I have to go do my podcast now because this has been funny. This is what's really entertaining. And I wish you guys could be on my show.
He asked us for permission.
Yeah, but he didn't have enough money to pay us. So we regretfully declined.
Right.
Now, is Shoddy Radio going to be on his show at any point?
Oh,
some point, I'm sure we'll throw him a bone.
Yeah.
Did he ask?
He begged.
Begged is the word, I think. Grovel.
At any point, did he ask Tim Daly if he could leave so that way you guys could be the guest?
No, but Tim Daly begged us to let him replace you. which we enthusiastically agreed to.
Yeah, I got bad news, man.
Yeah.
What does he bring that up?
Unless you can tell us funny stories about working with Tony Shalhoub, you're out.
Who else... for listeners of the Carolla podcast, who else was there in studio that us listeners would know of?
Allison Rosen, the news girl, was there, and God, she was all over me. Do you remember that?
It was weird.
It was gross. Not gross because she's a beautiful girl, but I mean just gross like I was embarrassed for her.
Is she really beautiful?
She's a good looking girl.
Bald Brian was there.
He's a good looking guy.
He's a good looking guy. Actually, he's going to be on our podcast
next week.
Yeah, next Monday we're going to interview. He's coming live in studio.
But
is he really?
Yeah.
No, seriously, he is. And
he's to the studio.
He's going to the Eagle Rock Studios.
Yeah, the Eagle Rock Studios.
Me, Danny, him, Bald Brian, and his sidekick Anderson
from Loveland.
So that's going to be four people. And then when Tim Daly shows up, there's just not going to be any room to have you on that one either, Ben.
Sorry, Ben.
No, it's cool. Monday, I got some stuff to do. I'm hanging out. I'm going to have lunch with Kevin Johnson, mayor of Sacramento.
Oh, that's cool.
We're going to talk about the new Kings Arena.
Enjoy that.
So how about that?
Yeah. I guess that's cool.
Yeah. So, oh, Donnie was there. The Wheeze. And the Wheeze is a man. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Everyone there was really nice.
Everyone's always really nice there. And the,
but the Wheeze was there. And there's an article. Well, we should say also, we, Chris wrote an article for Kush Magazine that just came out.
In Colorado. It's going to be coming.
Yeah, it came out in Colorado, but it's going to be coming to their other markets in the next.
So if you're in listening to us in Colorado, go down to your local dispensary and pick up the newest issue of Kush.
And if you're listening to us in any other markets, just hold tight.
I think the Thailand edition is coming out in July.
Chris wrote the article?
Yeah, Chris wrote it.
How was it?
It was good.
Due to time constraints, I had to make some cuts that otherwise I wouldn't have made, but
that's okay. I mean,
understand. I can't, I'm not going to get like a full magazine.
Right. So you're like a freelance article writer.
Yeah, he got paid for it.
Oh, really?
I got paid.
Can we talk numbers?
I got paid in the shade.
That's what I wrote in your yearbook, remember? You got paid in the shade.
Let's just say there's a number with a certain amount of zeros behind it.
And also at the beginning of it.
To me. And a decimal point.
Say you got $1.0.
I'm not going to say where the decimal points are and where the zeros are, but yeah.
Did you get less than $20?
No, I got paid a reasonable.
Yeah, it's a magazine. It's a reputable. It's a reputable magazine.
Did you get paid $100?
I got paid.
Listen.
I got paid over that, but I'm not going to go into any more details.
It was $100 and 3 cents.
Have you ever been paid to do stand up?
Yeah, lots of times.
Yeah, I have, but not very much.
What's the lowest amount you've ever been paid to do stand up?
The lowest amount?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't wake up out of bed for anything less than 35 G's.
You don't wake up out of bed?
I just live in a coma.
Does that mean you? What does wake up out of bed mean?
I mean, I'll just keep dreaming. Like, dreaming's better than cashing a $34,000 check. All right, so I guess we should get to the interview.
Yeah,
right?
We'll just play the interview in full, and then we can talk more about it afterwards, after you've all heard that.
Well, I'm the editor of Kush, and these guys are going to do the interview. They have a podcast. I think you might be familiar with them already.
We've met before. Time.
Everyone knows these dudes. Right.
And if you don't mind, if I'm just going to snap a couple pictures while you guys are doing
this. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, very cool.
Well, thanks for doing this, Adam.
Sure, yeah, thanks a lot. I'm Chris, this is Dan.
Yeah,
I'm
Danny.
Yeah, guys.
We have met before. Well, the first question I really want to talk, because Wasim pointed out that a lot of the Kush magazine readers have a younger demographic,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them may not be familiar with Loveline or your days in Loveline
sure.
anyway. But this is a question that I've always wondered about is, you have twins who are young kids now, but they're going to be teenagers at some point, and you know a lot about teenagers more than most adults do.
Yes.
You've dealt with teenagers in your adult life a lot. What do you think of it? Like, do you think much about what it's going to be like when your twins become teenagers?
No. I mean, I guess, I don't know, it's like thinking about where the hot dog came from when you're at the ball game. Like, it'll ruin the experience,
right.
I'm guessing, of raising your kids and enjoying them. I try to have fun with them. I try to dance with them. I try to play. I wrestle with them all the time. And I essentially just try, you know, my parents were a bummer. Like,
right.
They were just a bummer. They were depressed. And they're just like, oh, just, you know, let's watch Roots and then cry. And go into a fetal position. And it was all that 70s depression bullshit. So, you know, all, whatever, they're going to be a disaster in high school, I'm sure, like any way you
right.
can slice it. But the groundwork for them, you know, going from, you know, I mean, you got your choice. There's the sort of, you know, son's going to do some donuts in the parking lot of the supermarket when it's closed. Daughter's going to sneak out and hook up with her boyfriend in the 11th grade.
Right.
And then you have the full-blown junkie.
Right.
You know, let's light a hobo on fire. You know, let's get pregnant, then light a hobo on fire. Let's make some porn and put it up on YouTube. You know, like, so there's there's shades and grades, and, you know, there's no teen, like, you know, your kid's going to try pot.
Right.
Yeah. Going to try a beer.
Well, right.
But is the kid going to be a full-blown drug addict?
Right.
Is the kid going to be dealing? Is the kid going to drop out of 10th grade and follow fish around the country, you know? So
sure.
What you try to do at this point is you just try to work with them as much as you can so they're just sort of minor fuck-ups in high school and not full-blown junkies.
You yeah. brought up the internet, which is interesting because this is the new element. Now, if the internet was around when I was 13 years old, every girl would have seen my dick that I went to school with, no matter
sure.
what.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely
this is
true.
A new problem, I think.
As
that.
Opposed to just the faculty. Back in the day. Yeah. Yeah, those dudes were cool, though. But, the internet...
Like, do you worry about that with your kids?
Well, you know, they have this crazy capacity that, I mean, the future, it's how the future works. It's sort of like if you said, you know, hey, man, you know, when I was a kid, if somebody said, what if you could see the Grinch that stole Christmas in July on your TV set anytime you wanted? And I'd be like, it was like Wednesday at noon, and I just want to stay home sick and watch The Grinch, and I could do, it would have been mind-blowing. You know what I mean? Now right. It's like, who gives a shit,
right.
Old man?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch Vegas with Dan Tana. The phone would ring and be in his car. I'd be like, hey, but Dan Tana. And I'd be like, oh, he's in his car! He's in his car! There's no wires, you know? So, I mean, all pieces, you know, every time technology moves forward... Before it moves forward, you think, oh, this would be mind-numbing. And then when it does, it becomes passé very quickly.
Right.
And so, you know, you are over the cell phone 10 minutes after you got
sure.
your first cell phone. Just,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Where's my phone? You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, you wanted that.
And now all of a sudden you're pissed. Hey, man, what the fuck? No Canyon reception?
Right.
Bullshit, man. I got to wait another 10 minutes before I can call my buddy in New York again
yeah.
while I'm going 60 miles an hour. With my 6 CD player going in the background, like,
absolutely.
You're pissed off. Like,
yeah.
This is bullshit. So, you know, the internet and all that comes with it, while hypothetically inventing it before it was invented and thinking how freaky that would be, our kids will grow up with it like
yeah.
other kids grew up with indoor plumbing
sure.
150 years ago. Versus shitting in a chamber pot, and
yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure their elders were going, how's this going to affect? They can flush their fecal matter down the toilet without having to empty the chamber pot. They're all going to be hooligans without this responsibility. You know, or
right.
just whatever it was.
Absolutely.
Oh, this indoor hot plumbing with these hot showers are going to make them soft and feminine.
That's
the man won't learn to take care of himself. Like, I suppose there was a kind of a version of this that each generation had. Oh, there's one good thing about living in the Middle East. You never really have to deal with that. Pretty much just flatlining it right through technological boom there, you know?
Right.
Okay, old school.
Well,
yeah.
You brought up also, you know, the kids are going to try pot, the kids are going to try a beer. This is for Kush Magazine.
Yeah,
but...
Is. I mean, yeah, that's what we have as white people.
Well, I was going to
say...
Yeah,
it is. That's our thing. Let's keep that going, white people.
Do you feel it's pretty much inevitable that your kids will, at some point, try pot? And would you be against your kids trying pot? Or, I mean, an honest answer.
I don't have anything against, you know... I don't have anything against them trying pot or... trying chili fries or
that's gonna be one that's the order it'll go into.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, it's never the other way. Now let's get stoned.
Right.
No, I don't. I mean, you know, obviously it'd be great if they didn't pick it up and run
right.
with it, you know,
sure.
and go, hey man, I'm gonna start a reggae band, you know, like that's my new life. I'm dropping out of Harvard, starting a band. But like, you know, you would like them. First off, I don't want my kids to be scared of things
sure.
like, oh man, I want to try that pot, or I don't want to have a beer. You have
yeah, absolutely.
Beer
yeah.
buzz is awesome. Getting high is fun, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and part of being adult, being an adult, and making the transition into adult life is being able to regulate and monitor yourself, you know? So it's like, you're not monitoring yourself by locking all the weed away up in an underground vault. It's like, monitoring yourself is, you know, that experience when you first move out and you're living alone and you got a box of Twinkies in the cupboard and you got a, I used to call it a dime bag back in the day, a lid. You got a quarter ounce sitting in the drawer, and you got a couple Cokes in the fridge. And it's that part where you go, I'm kind of in the mood to get stoned and eat a Twinkie. But then, but you would hope they would go, I got to get up at 6 tomorrow and go to work. And as a matter of fact, I put on like 10 pounds since winter, and you know what? I'm going to hit the gym, and then I'll get... And then you know what? On Saturday, I'll rip a bong load and get in it. That's what I want. I don't want, like, you can't do this, you can't touch that.
Well, I grew up with... both he and I grew up in the sort of dare-to-keep-kids-off-drugs generation, and I'll be honest, I mean, we're doing this magazine for Kush. I've never smoked weed in my life, and I was scared of it growing up, to be honest. And I it took me a long time to sort of get rid of the anyone that smokes pot is evil. Really, like I had this idea. If I smelled pot, I just got this uneasy feeling in my stomach of something inherently bad is going on. Almost,
I thought there was no difference between pot and PCP.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
you know, no, I had the same thing with snuffborn, but eventually, you evolve. You're able to overcome these obstacles.
It fits right in with what you're saying about like. You have to learn to sort of monitor yourself, and
look, there's a Taco Bell that's open till 4 a.m. on every corner, and they've invented a fourth meal. I'd argue fifth if you include brunch, but anyway, they've invented the fourth meal. And there should be class action lawsuit against like every morbid obese. Hey, they invented another meal. That's why I got fat.
Exactly,
taking in 25% more calories every day because of that goddamn fourth meal, But there's going to be a Taco Bell with their fourth meal on every corner, and I don't care how shitty their job prospects are, they're always going to be able to cobble together 79 cents for a deluxe something. So they got to regulate. I mean, we're living in a time and a place where if you'd like to spend 17 hours a day looking at internet porn, and drinking, just chugging Diet Mountain Dew, and you know, eating your Bako bits right out of the container.
Can do it.
And no one's going to stop you from doing it.
Sure.
And you know, and then go get a crossbow and get drunk and get on the roof. Like, do whatever you want. There's no way you're going to follow your fucking kid around.
Right.
You can arm them with the ability, and I would argue that. Never touch it. Don't go near it. Don't associate people who do it. It's like the same with fast food.
Sure.
You're not going to tell them. You can never go, you know, you can never go have the chili fries, or you can never go to Fatburger and get a double king cheese. No, you have to tell them you can do that.
But
if you do it every night and you don't hit the gym, you're going to be a fat ass and you're not going to get laid.
You know, you think that's a stereotype, but there's something behind it. If you make something sort of, you give it more power than it deserves by taking it all the way away.
That's what Danny went gay.
Yeah.
That's not the only reason.
You create this
my mom mystified.
you give it a power by creating almost mysticism about
exactly.
it. And then a taboo that surrounds that. And then when the people eventually do imbibe whatever we're talking about and realize they didn't die, or that there is a difference between pot and PCP.
Or they find out it does feel good.
And it feels good. Then all of a sudden, they look at the people that told them that that they're all liars.
Right, absolutely, yes.
And really, that's why the message should be, for everything, should be, no, pot's not going to kill you, and no, it's not going to make you go insane, and sure, there's place for it, but, you know, you don't want to get totally baked and get behind the wheel of a combine or a school bus, and if you wake and bake every morning, you're probably not going to climb that corporate ladder as quickly as you would have if you didn't. But if you want to have a bong load on a Friday evening after a tough day of work, God bless you. Right. And then Monday, it's time to head in.
Yeah.
Again. And you should head in sober.
Right, absolutely.
That, you know, that's basically the message, and that's life.
Right.
You know?
This might be a mixed message, but assuming that there's no test the next day and they're over 18, would you be opposed to maybe getting high with your son at some point? Would that interest you at all, or is that just too weird?
Let's see. No test. Get high with my son.
It's probably too far in the future to even imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about it, I mean, I guess I would hope there's a real good band called Dada, and that band has a song called "I Took a Trip with My Dad," and it's a true story about I think the bass player or the drummer, I can't remember, scored mushrooms, and him and his dad got mushrooms and like got in a station wagon and like went out to you know, Monument Valley, just tripped out with his dad. I would hate to do it too. I would hope, I would hope that I have a kind of a relationship with my kids where we don't feel like we need to break through to the other side, sure, so to speak. Like,
yeah,
come on, Dad, let your guard down or let it go. Or like, I don't want one of those things where it's like, my dad got really drunk and he told me he loved me for the first time. You know, like, right, he hugged me. He never hugged me before, but he was fucking shit-faced. And he was like, and he started crying. It was weird, you know, because the next day then he was really weird about it, right, and you don't talk about it. I would kind of hope that me and my kids have a dialogue and that we're cool, sure, and that they look at me as their dad, but also as just a human being that, right, has a little more knowledge than they do. But that we don't have to get to a place where it's like we have to alter ourselves to get to some next level, yeah, in our relationship. It's sort of kind of like the I need to rub some of this Bengay on my cock so I can enjoy sex kind of thing. It's like, you don't like,
does that work?
Blow job's just not gonna,
right, exactly,
you gotta put I in
can,
a
yeah, if I can convince a girl to let me do that, that's,
yeah, I don't need to I don't need you to take the Altoid and the mouthful of 7-Up or something. Blow job right, blow job way will do, you know, like, I'm not bored with a blow, like, I don't,
no, yeah,
I don't want to get to that point, I guess,
in your relationship with your kids where you need something to,
I mean, I'm not counting it out, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like that a lot of people sort of try to have that, like, where they go, man, me and my dad, we got stoned, and man, he told me some shit, right, that we'd never, you know, sure, or he got drunk, and he opened up about mom and the affair and the whole thing, and then he started crying really hard, yeah, and it was really weird. I just hope it's always really weird. Or I mean, I just hope it's like, I can be shit-faced, or I can be sober. You're going to have, there's nothing I'm going to unleash on, sure, you know?
Chris and I both have been, you know, fans of yours for a long time. So we've listened to you. I mean, I've listened to you most of my life, so. But I don't think I've ever heard you tell a story, or tell the story of the first time you really got high, or how it happened, or do you remember, like, the first time someone showed you weed, or it was around you? Do you remember?
Strange green stuff.
Well, my mom smoked pot.
Yeah, well, you've talked about that, but I don't know that I've ever heard you tell a story of, like, do you remember who you got high with the first time you ever did it?
Well, it's hard to tell, because the pot's so shitty. Right. Back then, I mean, it was literally just leaves and shake and, yeah, seeds and stems. There wasn't really, you didn't smoke bud, you smoked leaves, you know? It was like a tobacco plant. That's fucking murder. No, no MTV and leaves. I'm smoking leaves just to get high.
Yeah.
So, my mom had a pot plant in her backyard, you know? And, yeah, my mom was sort of hippie, lazy, kind of depressed, and hung out with other hippie, lazy, whatever folks, and,
right,
she kind of self-medicated, and she'd be blowing a joint. She had something that they don't use anymore, which I wish they would use, which is called a stone. Take the joint, put it in this little bead, and it's like kind of flattened out. I don't know why they don't sell them anymore.
I've never heard of
you guys know what a stone is?
I don't know.
A call yourself Hesher?
My dad was a Hesher, but I didn't.
Well, it was like somebody took a clay bead and sort of smushed it down with their thumb and forefinger,
okay, and
had a hole going straight through it that was kind of tapered, and you know they'd put a pot and draw a pot leaf on it or a peace sign or whatever, bake it and glaze it and everything, and then you'd take the joint and instead of the fucking super sloppy, everyone's spittle all over the end, and it's all gooey and right, all that. You take the joint and you'd shove it into the stone. Right. You see, you didn't need a roach clip or any, you know, you'd get down to the end, it wouldn't matter, it was pushed into the stone, and then you'd hit the stone, and you could pass it around that way, and it was like sharing a coffee mug right, versus sharing a piece of Kleenex, you know what I mean?
That's a great analogy.
A little weirder to be, one just sort of absorbs slobber right, and then brings it over. So, my mom had a stone, and she would just hang around and kind of medicate. But again, the pot was so weak back then that it was like a lot of shake and leaves and stuff. And I think she gave me a hit off her joint once when I was, I don't know, 10 years old or something.
Wow, really?
Yeah, well, she wasn't a great parent.
I mean,
she didn't give a shit.
I'm not. I'm just. That's,
she didn't care. I mean, it wasn't like I don't know. I maybe she felt like I can't be a hypocrite. Like,
right.
I can't sit here.
Absolutely.
She would call them herbal cigarettes.
Sounds like
now you'd get more shit for smoking cigarettes than you would for smoking pot. You know, but she's like, tell your friends it's an herbal cigarette. You know, and she'd sit around and smoke weed and. She never acted any different or anything. So I guess that was my first. Between her and her fucking hippie friends, and I say fucking hippie friends because it was really in the 70s. They were depressed, and it was depression. And what it is they blame the man and they blame society and they blame everyone. But really, it was a bunch of adults who went, you know what? I don't want to fucking shave. And I don't feel like getting a haircut, and I don't feel like getting dressed and going to work.
Right.
So I'm gonna just, I got this low grade depression. I'm gonna hang out. I'm gonna get a little welfare. I'll hammer a couple food stamps, and then we'll just hang around and we'll all kind of get together, and we'll all just complain about how shitty the government is and how in Canada they have health care for everyone. Meanwhile, not a tax being
right,
paid
absolutely.
Between the fucking 10 of them. All just sitting around smoking weed all day.
Right.
And it's like, they'll just basically complain about the government all day. And then make these proclamations about, hey, man, I got two kids. How am I supposed to get by on $339 a month? Like, you're not.
Yeah,
that's
not your age.
Supposed to go to fucking work is what you're supposed to do. But I was kind of, it was a low-grade depression. And that got turned into, then turned into shame. That then turned into anger, where they like don't trust anybody. You know, I grew up in a family that was like, if someone makes money, you don't trust them. Like if they drive a nice car, they're not happy. They're all just alcoholics or have mistresses on the side, fake painted on smiles, or fake little vacations and the big cars and you know, it's all like that. But don't kid yourself, they're miserable. You know, it's like no, I don't think they're more miserable than we are. I think there's one competition we would win, and then there's no other competitions we would win. But I think the misery competition. Mom, look at yourself.
Right.
Who's fucking more miserable than you? Nobody I know.
You think she's turned the corner on wealthy people since you're doing pretty good?
That's a good question. Have you changed her opinion of wealthy people?
No, she doesn't. She when I told her mom, my grandma, that I got a big house up in the hills, when I bought my big house up in the hills, she just paused and told me that her maid, Delia, didn't have a kitchen table. That was her response to that. Just put me in my place, you know. No, that's how they are. They don't, but they're really just losers who can't figure out how to make money. So they just fucking turn on everyone who has money and call them losers.
Yeah.
And it's real easy. Like, it's real simple. I would like to make money. I can't make money. So I could sit around and feel bad about myself. Or I could take a look at anyone who does make money and go, yeah, I'm sure daddy's my daddy took care of you real good. Right. Yeah, that's just dad. You know how it goes.
Yes.
You know how the inside shit works. You know, daddy sets him up. Daddy's got a little handshake deal with the guy over at Harvard. Daddy's money pays. You know how people do that all the time? They'll never go, well, that's a hard-working, self-made man.
You need to not take a look at yourself and really see your own situation.
Yeah, they're always, whenever someone else is successful, they go, oh, man, it's who you know.
Yeah.
You know his fucking dad made a couple phone calls. They'll do anything but go, that guy busted his ass. Right. The reality is 99% of the successful people I know bust their ass, and they do it day in and day out. And they're there. They're not there because daddy did anything. They're just there because they busted their ass. But they try to do it with me all the time. People go, oh, well, if you hadn't met Jimmy.
Jimmy wasn't really.
I fucking found Jimmy. I showed up. I got up. I went to Jimmy. I didn't wait. Jimmy came over to my house with a microphone. Hey, man, you know, do some radio. Fuck that. I can't stand that shit. And you know what you're doing? You're sending a shitty message to everybody. Because then you think, oh, well, my daddy's not rich. I'm going to wait around and be pissed off at the government. Or I'm going to... There's no fucking guesswork. There's no luck here. You go out, you make your way, or you don't.
Yeah.
But if you don't, shut the fuck up.
Well, you bring up Jimmy. You've talked openly before about sort of, I guess, marijuana stories involving Jimmy. Do you have any good... celebrity marijuana stories? I mean, I know you have the most recent one that I've heard you talk about, it, which I love, is the we'll end on this, is the Sex and the City story. But do you have any other ones that are similar to that, or or even just that one, anything that comes to mind?
If you go to one of Sarah Silverman's birthday parties, you will eat a brownie that has more than fudge in it, and you will feel differently than you felt before you ate brownie, and there will be recognizable people around, some who don't give a shit, others will probably get pissed off.
Well, I don't even necessarily want you to name names, but, of anyone who's not in the open.
There's definitely, I mean, I don't know any, I shouldn't say any, most stand-up comedians are pretty good-sized potheads.
Sure.
I mean, they all pretty much get baked. And I don't know if it's the creative process. I don't know what's involved with that exactly. But, I never did it with a... You know, I never got high with a senator or anything. pot does seem to be sort of a central theme of I've never been to a celebrity party where there was not pot involved.
Right.
It didn't mean that it was baked into the lasagna, but at some point, somebody was pulling a doobie out.
All right.
And that's how it went.
Well, thank you. Can I ask you one question that's kind of unrelated to the magazine? This is something, just a debate. If you had to ballpark figure, how many people do you think right now are watching Cool Runnings in Los Angeles?
Well, I know the answer.
I'm glad somebody does.
Now we're talking Blu-ray?
No, any format.
Any format.
Oh, any format.
Any format.
In because
I got to... Now there's Laserdisc and Beta, and there's On Demand.
Cassette.
And,
cassette.
Yeah, so the VHS cassette, yes. Now, in L.A. County or L.A. City?
I'm saying L.A. City.
L.A. City.
All right, so we're not going to, like, San Bernardino or anything.
No.
Just in
L.A.
the city. All right, that's 144 people.
You're a little low.
144.
Well, that's in L.A. Now, you want to expand out. You want to include Orange County.
Right.
And some of the outlying areas. Ventura, you know, there's like I said, there's L.A., the city of L.A., and then there's L.A. County.
That's true.
If you want to expand that, I can raise that number for you. Okay. If you want to talk about L.A.
Well, Mexicans love Cool Runnings. Half a million easy.
I wish I could translate that. All right, well, I know you got to
move
on with the show. Well, thanks for doing
that. Yeah. I don't know if you could spend, like, just 1 minute talking to us about, like, how the podcast basically has changed your entire view of getting your word out and getting people to listen to you. Just the technology of the podcast and how it's affected basically the trajectory of your career.
The podcast has enabled me to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I just turned out a multi-year, multi-million dollar terrestrial radio gig. Thank you.
Really?
Screw you, the man.
No, thank God. And
that's
awesome.
You know why? I'll tell you. A lot of it was this. It wasn't the, you know, people think, oh yeah, man, you don't want to deal with that FCC or no. You don't want to deal with the man and all that kind of stuff. But basically, at my level, I don't really have the man telling me. You get that shit when you start, you know, and into intermediate. I would tell the man to fuck off at this point. Like, I'm not going to have a guy going, hey, we got to do an air check after every show and listen to what you said and let me critique you on that interview and all that. I wouldn't get that. I would have to deal with the FCC, but I've dealt with them. And you know, I understand you just go F you instead of fuck you and a-hole instead of asshole. And, you know, it's pretty easy transition. For me, I just said I don't want to turn around the pirate ship and head back to port, number one.
Right.
And number two, you get to do this on your own terms, but you also get to do your own schedule. Like, meaning there's events, there's things, the aforementioned celebrity party with, you know, Howard Stern and George Clooney and everything was over at Kimmel's a couple Fridays ago, started at 8 o'clock. If I took this particular gig, I would be working on Friday at that time.
Right.
As it, you know, what we do here is if I have to go out of town and do a gig or there's a car vintage race I want to go to or something, we'll just knock out a few of them at noon.
Absolutely.
Or somebody will say, hey, Jesse Ventura's in town, but he can't come in at 8 o'clock at night. He only can come in at 11 in the morning, and you got an hour with him. And so we go, all right, let's do a one-on-one with him for an hour. And so not only can you talk about whatever the fuck you want, but you have the flexibility to go, all right, let's go in and knock that out. Or I'm going on vacation for a week, so let's bank a couple of these, and then I'll split.
Yeah.
That flexibility, again, FCC, the man, all that's great to avoid. But to me, I love the accordion nature of it, the way you can do a million different things and keep up with the podcast.
And I'll tell you something, if it translates to the podcast as well, which is why podcasts are so much better than radio, is that you listen to them on your schedule.
Right.
You know, I work a regular job and I listen to 8 hours of podcasts a day, you know, and you can't do that. I mean, I listen to what I want instead of shitty radio. And
right.
The accordion goes both ways. I mean, people can listen to who couldn't listen to you in the morning because they're
she's
not
saying he's bisexual. I don't think the accordion reference. Did I make that or is that him?
Because they go both. Well,
accordion goes both ways. So, are you called accordion? Are you nicknamed or the squeeze box or what are you? All right, I'm confused now. But I dig it.
Daddy never sleeps.
I dig
tonight.
It. Yeah. Nah, a little who for you, everybody.
Oh, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that was.
It was delightful.
Yeah, that was a good interview.
I'm jealous I wasn't there.
We changed your mind.
No one else is going to know this, but when he revealed to us that he turned down that contract for the radio gig, we were the first ones to know. That was the episode that he told Bald Brian.
Yeah, it was actually kind of crazy. If we could have somehow got that out before, got the magazine and podcast out, within 30 seconds before he started his next podcast,
it would have
been a scoop because
no
one knew that he had been offered a new a big radio gig and then turned it down at the last second. You know what I mean? Like, we knew it before everyone close to him knew.
We could have made millions.
Exactly. No, I mean,
how?
We wouldn't have made millions, but sure. I did think it was pretty. When I found out later, by listening to that night's podcast
the next day.
I thought it was so cool that I knew that before. Yeah. And he was really frank and honest with us about it too, which I thought was awesome.
Did you just say frank and honest?
Yeah, isn't that an expression?
Frank and... Oh, I thought you said frank and honest. Like F-R-I...
like
freak.
Frankenstein.
Like freak. No, he means like freaking.
Like freaking.
That's frank and honest. Frank.
I'm going to start saying that.
He was really frank and honest with us.
No, he was very open with us about it, which was cool.
Yeah, he was really cool with us. I mean, I think at the beginning he felt like he needed to do a lot of talking just in case, which he does with interviews that are really
shitty. It's about him. It's not about us.
Oh, I know. But I was definitely trying to sneak in some kind of humor anywhere I could.
Yeah, Chris definitely made him laugh, which was pretty awesome.
I guess so. But once or twice. He really loved the Who reference. That was the big
thing. Yeah.
So we want to say thanks again to Kush Magazine for letting us promote our show and interview
one of our heroes, basically.
One of our comic icons.
Yeah. Although he did get into podcasting after us.
Yeah, we predated the Adam Carolla show by at least a year.
Yeah. I didn't
We're not quite Guinness record material yet.
Right. Well, we're
Ripley's, believe it or not, though.
We did.
Because they just make shit up.
Ripley's, believe it or not, should have this stat. Here's a Ripley's, believe it or not, for both of you. Shoddy Radio is well over 100,000 downloads.
And Shoddy Radio actually has the longest dick in podcasting.
Now, do you believe it or not, Ben?
I believe the downloads. I don't know if we have the longest dick in podcast.
Combined, if you think about combined.
That's true. The three of us is bigger than Corolla.
So everyone who is coming over from Kush Magazine, thank you for listening to this show. And listen to another episode also, because there's a lot of fun.
Do they have a website we can check out?
I think it's jungletitties.org.
we'll post a link to it, but just look up Kush Magazine online. And we'll post the website on with this podcast. And for people who are already just listeners to us, go and, you know, buy a Kush Magazine. Show some support.
You know, I wanted to say, like, jungletitties.org really isn't a bad idea for a website. And I'll tell you why. Because they're giving computers to, like, third world countries now. Somebody is, like, special solar-powered computers.
Right.
So, naturally, if you're in Ethiopia and you have to feed your family, why not put a webcam of you, like, out on a dirt field with your vagina opened?
And your jungle titties.
Yeah, and people could just log in and watch you on their webcam. I'm sure there's got to be a fetish for African tribal women.
Yeah.
Can anybody start a .org, or do you have to prove that it's an organization?
I think you have to be a nonprofit, so that's one. I guess maybe it would be a .com, not .org.
But how do you prove that?
.net.
Well, I think you have to file for it with the government.
If you
and
just
you don't pay taxes.
Yeah. If you just have to not profit.
I don't pay taxes, so I'm a nonprofit.
I was gonna say, if you just have to not profit, then Shoddy Radio is definitely a nonprofit.
Me and Wesley Snipes are charitable organizations.
WesleySnipes.org. All right. Well, night, Benjamin.
Good night.
Night, Christopher.
All right.